Welcome to Making Sense, the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee, supported by our lovely friends at KiwiBank. I'm Frances Cook, an independent financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. Now, have you ever wished you could hack your brain so that you actually do all the good stuff you know you should be doing, but you don't? You know, saving for a rainy day, paying off debt, investing. We know we should be doing these things, but we often don't, because frankly, there are other things to do that are way more fun. So, enter the latest tech innovation. They've tapped into the behavioral psychology that's often used to keep us online, or gambling, or doing other naughty things. And they've flipped it to help us do the good stuff instead. So here's how that works. Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission and the difference it makes when you understand the money world. For KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of inspirational and unconventional approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a real difference to the lives of their customers. This is Making Kiwi Better Off. This is Kiwi. And I'm joined now by Thomas Van Ammers, co-founder of Otto. So the idea behind Otto, rewards program for your money, designed to make it more fun to achieve your financial goals, which bold on that front, to be honest. I think a lot of people feel like savings and budgeting chat is a bit like pulling teeth. So when did you first have this idea? What inspired it?
The idea started when Bonus Bonds was first closing down in New Zealand. And Bonus Bonds, some might remember this, some won't, depends on your age, but it's what's called a prize-linked savings scheme. And the idea is that you buy into the scheme, and instead of earning interest on the amount that you put in, the interest of all of the members is pooled, and then prizes are paid out to a small group of those members. So you won't earn interest, but there's a chance that you might win $10,000. The concept is based on behavioral psychology, where the expectation or the chance of a large win is more appealing than a more guaranteed, smaller reward. That really excited myself and my co-founder at the time, because this was during the heat of the meme stock era. People were gambling in the stock market. They were buying stock options, a lot of lotto tickets being purchased. We'll get to that at some point because they still are. And we thought, well, clearly people like a rush and they like the idea of a reward. Maybe there's a way that we can incorporate that aspect into something that actually helps people build better financial habits, like saving, which is traditionally not that exciting, but it can be exciting. And that's what we're trying to do with Otto.
That's an interesting idea, right? You're sort of taking the idea and the rush of gambling and trying to apply it in a way that makes us be better with our money rather than, you know, I don't think anyone would call gambling good with our money. So taking these ideas from one of the darker sides of finance and applying it in a good way. So how do you go about doing that?
Yeah. So in a way, it is kind of harnessing gambling for good. And it's not the same as gambling, but the mechanisms are the same. Mm. With Otto, we look at building the simplest part of the habit of saving. We're not looking at creating complicated spreadsheets and mapping out your finances into the future. That's definitely important. And if that's where you're at, then great, your personal finances are in a good place. But most people are actually not like that. And probably the areas that you're involved in, and I know I'm involved in, there's more of a background in finance than there actually is in the general population. There are more people who gamble regularly in New Zealand than invest as retail investors. It's about 2.7 million regular gamblers in New Zealand. So clearly, most people actually need a little bit of help building those habits in a way that isn't a spreadsheet.
Yeah. And it is funny, isn't it? Because people go out and gamble on a Friday or Saturday night. And that is fun. You're spending time with your friends, even though you might, depending on how much you gamble, might be losing quite a bit of money. Hopefully all within the budget, but you never know. Meanwhile, I don't know many people who would get together with their friends and
even talk about savings or investing on a Friday or Saturday night, much less do that together. There are some people who do investing clubs. Love that for them if they do.
Yep, definitely.
Certainly not the same sort of impetus for that in the social life. So how do we hack our brains like that to make it more fun? How do we pull those lessons?
So, I mean, there's a lot of research behind this. PrizeLink Savings has research going back decades, but probably more relevant to Otto is a researcher called BJ Fogg. He's known as a controversial figure in the States, as kind of the person behind the dopamine cycle of a lot of the apps that come out of Silicon Valley, where the reward mechanism of dopamine is used to get people to come back to apps, and often not in a good way. So gambling apps lean heavily on this kind of research. What we've done is use those same pathways, but for good. And in practice, the closest analogy for our first game, which is called Savings Quest, is Duolingo. So when you create a savings quest with Otto, you have a series of checkpoints that reward you with tokens as if you meet your goals before those checkpoints. As you reach more checkpoints, you build a streak. And a streak is incredibly simple, but it's incredibly powerful for getting people to come back. With Duolingo, it's the single most powerful reward mechanism for getting people to come back and complete their, you know, 5 minutes a day. We're doing the exact same thing, but to get people to build and then maintain a habit of saving. And we're not expecting, it doesn't have to be huge things. For some people, 10 cents might be enough to start building a habit. It could be a dollar. The way that Otto works is that you set your own goals, and it's as long as you've increased by some amount between the checkpoints, then great, you've achieved it. There's also an element of random chance that helps get people into that habit forming process. And so we've got, in between the checkpoints, you might get a bonus reward of a certain variety. We've got things like streak freezes. You can earn additional tokens, or you can win cash, whatever it is. And that just keeps the process of saving feeling more like a game and not like something that is a chore to do. It's actually fun to take part in. That's the idea.
That's brilliant. That is so interesting on how that works. As soon as you mentioned a streak, I'm like, yep, that gets me every time. I mean, I even remember, I don't use Snapchat anymore, but I used to, the Snapchat streaks that you'd have with certain people that you've been snapping back and forth with each other for 5 days, 10 days, whatever, and then you don't want to break them anymore. Those streaks really get you. It's something that I often say, right, that if we just needed information about our money, we'd be fine. There's so much money information out there. It can be Googled. It's the doing it that's hard. Why do you think we struggle to do things that we know would be good for us financially?
I think there's a problem with attention these days.
Mm-hmm.
The attention economy is what tech is focused on, which is trying to hijack as much of our attention as possible. And that's done mostly with social media, short clips and whatnot. It's making things that are easy, but not necessarily good for us long term, more compelling than things that are slightly harder, but better for us long term.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, in my view, quite the battle going on for our attentions in that sense. There are lots of ways you could try and tackle that problem. And there are lots of good examples of dollar cost averaging and using budgeting software and understanding personal finance better. And those do work, and they are the right way to do things. They have worked for a long time. They're not actually that new. But then there's also the more tricky situation, which is that most people are actually very short on time and on focus, and they also would benefit from these good financial habits. So with Otto, we're trying to acknowledge that there is a problem, and it's quite a large one. It's not just one in finance. Personally, I think it's one just in general. But this is one way that we can actually help people out and say, sure, there are these things competing for your time. We're not going to try and ping you with notifications every single day, and we actively don't try and do that. But if every 2 weeks you can come back and you can complete, you know, some progress on one of your auto quests, that's enough to build a habit that will last you a long time. And over the course of your life, those small habits make an enormous difference.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And the small things I think people often underestimate, you know, the saving a little every week, investing a little every week, just sticking with it and doing a small thing a lot over time can be huge, can't it? I think we're often looking for a big silver bullet, whereas it's the little changes over time that you let snowball can be massive.
Definitely agree. you talk a lot about like the power of compounding and compound interest. And it really is this incredible phenomenon. But it's a little bit counterintuitive because sometimes the small decisions, the easy decisions can actually make the biggest benefit over the next 30 years. An example of this is if you're in a KiwiSaver fund and you're putting in 3% instead of 6%, or you're with a fund manager that's charging you 1% as a management fee versus half of that. Over the course of your lifetime, that's an enormous amount of money that is being taken from you. And to switch is actually quite simple. It's largely automated for most people. Or if you've got a mortgage, the same thing. If you refix at a better rate or change your provider. So again, those are actually levers that do exist now, but people don't seem to be taking advantage of them as much as they could. I was reading this thing the other day on Kiwis loving to dislike their banks and always talking about the Aussies are taking our profits. And, you know, it's true. But at the same time, we don't even leave our banks. So 80% of Kiwis are signing to a bank that they don't like for some reason, but they stay with them. They don't actually switch. So I guess this kind of feeds into the other side of Otto, is that while it's free for users to take part and build habits, the way that we monetize is that financial providers can offer better deals than what the users of Otto currently have. So for example, if they've got a mortgage linked to Otto, there might be a provider that comes in and says, we'll offer you 0.5% or 1% lower if you refinance with us. And that's true across other financial products. So it's creating that competition where people can make a relatively easy switch for them that will benefit them financially over their lifetime. And then the financial service providers are happy because they've got a new customer. And then Otto's happy because financial services providers have paid Otto.
That's super interesting. It is that thing is we are really sticky, both New Zealand and Australia. We are particularly sticky customers, particularly loyal. And we do pay a loyalty tax because of that. We're companies of all types will often offer a better deal to new customers and totally ignore their existing ones. And it blows my mind. And yet, from a business sense, why wouldn't you? Because the customers aren't pushing you to do that. We don't change very much. We don't often look around, shop around, and get those good deals. So that's interesting that the monetization for you there is making it a bit more proactive and a bit changing the dynamic there on that. I mean, you mentioned the streaks in terms of things that can make it more fun, more interesting, and using a little bit of those gambling wins of the surprise of getting a big windfall on something, which can be fun. Are there any other bits of money psychology that you're looking at that you either are using already or you're thinking about using in the future? Sort of different ways we can trick ourselves, being a bit better with our money.
Part of the problem is just awareness of what's actually going on in your account and in your financial life. And it's very easy to be with a bank and check your account every once in a while, but not really see the trends. And just seeing those trends is often enough to trigger a change in action. Or there can be a suggestion to say, you know, we've noticed that these things have happened over time based on your transactions. Have you considered this alternative? An example of this is called Roundup. These are popular in quite a few like fintech products overseas, where you go to a coffee shop and you pay $4.70, or nowadays probably like $5.50 or something, and you can enable roundups, which will automatically increase that price to $6 with the extra 50 cents going off and being swept into an investment account, for example, or into your KiwiSaver or savings. And they're kind of they're little hacks that once they're set up and automated, they really add up over time. It would be very painful if every time you bought a coffee you did that manually, but if you just do it automatically from your app, people just forget that it's even happening. So we're definitely looking at implementing that kind of behavior into Otto's future products. We're trying to focus on the fundamentals first. So savings, getting a savings habit started is important, and then building an emergency fund, which also you talk a lot about, and it's good financial practice to do. And then there's debt. So if you do have debt, don't ignore it. There's good reason to have debt. A lot of people have debt, but managing it is super important, especially if it's at a high interest rate. So building games around that to make it fun and not scary is something that we're very close to launching now. Actually, it's called Debt Reduction Quest, and it involves building a little rocket, and you can build it level by level with this character Otto, who looks like a New Zealand Robin, like a friend, your friendly character that will help you pay off your debt. And then we've got investment quests, which are, you know, if you've got your debt under control and you've got your savings emergency account set up, then investment might be an option. You can pick which one you want to start and when, but trying to build up this portfolio of good habits that get you set up, if you can do them continuously, regularly for life, you'll be in a really good place. And a lot of people aren't aware that they can do that. You don't need a huge income to achieve these things. You need consistency. And ideally, if you're young, if you're listening to this and you're 18 or younger, if you start now, you're already going to be massively ahead of most people in their 20s, 30s, 40s.
Oh, I know. Sometimes I think back, like I started my first job at 14 and I think back and I'm like, man, if I knew then what I know now, I would be so good. However, we all come to it at the time we come to it. I think every single person I know who's got an interest in money, no matter what age they got interested, whether it was in their teens, they wish they'd started when they were younger. If they were in their 20s, they wish they started in their teens. We all wish we came to it earlier because then you learn the power of time.
Definitely. Yeah.
Is there anything you've learned as you've been, there's obviously a lot of behavioral psychology, a lot of financial psychology that's gone into this, which must be fascinating. It's one of my favorite areas. Is there anything that you've learned that, I mean, it may or may not have been put into the games, into the app, but that's changed your approach to your money and what you do?
Well, I guess in part, Otto is a response to the type of behavior that myself and my co-founder had at the time that we first started talking about this. To be clear, we've been interested in finance for a long time. My background is in finance, it's what I studied before moving into tech. But I still really found it fascinating, the outsized rewards of things like penny stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I've traded stock options on mining companies and whatnot. Like a small amount, not the main approach to my investing. But I saw that there was something in me that liked this outsized reward approach. And the same was true of Evan. We wanted to build something that we would use, and we do use it. And an example of this is Savings Quest. When I was just first testing it, and Evan was testing it, we created our own accounts to see how the checkpoint and streak functionality and the rewards, the freezes and whatnot would work. And that was months ago now. And I still consistently put money into the account, even though it wasn't even a savings account that I was using. It was a test account. I still don't want that streak to be finished. So I've hijacked my own brain.
You tricked yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So like now I still get the emails like 3 days before, put some more money in there.
So good. It is funny, isn't it? There's all of these parts of money. And I often talk about it in terms of when people are asking me like, oh, I did this and I feel really bad. And I'm sort of like, well, don't, because that is such natural human psychology. Like people will send me these big money mistakes they've made and I'm like, I know exactly what's happened there, and that is just basic human wiring. And so we often talk about it in quite a negative way, but there's also basic human wiring that all of us have. I mean, well, okay, 95%, there's always an exception, but this basic wiring that we can also use for the good stuff. And I don't think, even when you know what's going on and you know how this works, you still go along with it because it's still fun. It still hits those little dopamine points and it still works even when you know what's going on, right?
Definitely. I mean, you can know what the difficulty is. You can rationally understand why you should or shouldn't do something. You could document it, but you might still do the exact opposite. And it's the same in lots of areas of life. So it's common, for example, if you see a doctor and they say, well, have you considered diet and exercise? Like, I mean, I knew that, but what's the easy option? Like that's the medical industry. A lot of the treatments they do is because the simple option is not followed. And that's definitely the case in finance as well.
Yeah, I think I had Glenn James, several episodes ago now, but he's the host of the Money, Money, Money podcast over in Australia. And he's so fun. He's quite brutally honest, including with himself. And he compared money to diet and exercise, just like you have, but talking about himself. And he said, I could be skinny if I really wanted to, if I really wanted to put in the work, but I don't.
Yep.
Yeah. Just kind of loved that.
That's great self-awareness, at least. It start, yeah. Change starts with some self-awareness.
Yeah. So our first step with money. Do you actually want to hit these goals? And I think that's the big thing, right? You do need some goals that you actually want to hit. And then it makes a lot of this easier. But we still need these little things, these little boosters to help us stick with it, to go along with it, which I think is really It's fascinating what you're doing here to try and make it a bit more fun. What is a goal that you've had with money? And have you hit it or you didn't hit it? Let me know. How would these techniques have helped you with that sort of goal for yourself?
I mean, this isn't going to be very exciting. It's pretty boring example. I mean, savings goals for holidays.
But holidays are exciting when you're on them.
They are very exciting. But the approach to saving for me is setting up a dollar amount and a date by which it's needed. Mm. And then looking at my expenditure, how much can I set aside as soon as I get paid and still live, you know, an okay existence or a reasonably good existence. And then I just put as much as possible as I can into that goal. Until it's hit. It's a very simple approach. I don't track it in spreadsheets. That's not my style. I try and track in my head, and mostly I set things up at the beginning so that once they're set up, I can forget about them until the goal is hit. And I only notice if I'm veering off that if the deposits aren't made into the goal accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can look at it and say, well, what happened these last 2 weeks or whatever it was. So I know that's not a very exciting story, but it's worked for me.
I think so much of this stuff, so much of like good management of our lives in general comes down to being ready to just do what needs to be done and doing it regularly. That is an unfortunate truth of life. But this is exactly why you're building the app, right? To make it more exciting.
Life is full of ups and downs. So no matter what your everyday looks like, KiwiBank has the products and services to help you manage your money your way. To find out more, head to kiwibank.co.nz. This is making Kiwi better off. This is KiwiBank.
One of the things, do correct me if I'm wrong, but it's you're using a bit of open banking, right, to power this, make it work?
Yes.
So New Zealand is quite late to this area. Open banking is pretty common all around the world, and yet New Zealand, we're just getting there. So can we start with just a super quick definition? What's open banking?
Open banking is the idea that you own your own financial data and that you can grant access to it to other organizations or people at your discretion. Probably the most common example is that if you're applying for a credit card or a home loan, usually you would have to download all of your transactions and provide your pay slips and a whole bundle of things that you have to send to a bank, and someone manually goes through and reconciles it all. With open banking, you would grant access to your account transactions to the mortgage broker, for example, only those transactions, and they would automatically get access to those and be able to run their models against them without you having to do the manual effort of compiling all of your things or them having to do the manual effort on there and compiling all those things. That's probably the most common use case for it, but there are many. And as you say, New Zealand is quite far behind Australia, and Australia was far behind the UK. So we're kind of just playing catch up now.
Yeah. So on that catch up, where are we at? Because we're looking at reforms and law changes. What can and can't be done currently, and how is that impacting what you're doing in this space?
I mean, just to preface this, we use open banking extensively for auto, but there are definitely experts on the regulatory or technical side. You might have, I don't know, Okahu, which is the open banking provider that we use at Auto, is doing an exceptional job here, and they're really pushing the banks and the industry forward, in my view. But the way it works at the moment is that the major banks in New Zealand have signed up to an agreement through Payments NZ to provide access to payments functionality, account information functionality, and some other standards that they will all provide in the same way. And when I say the same way, I mean there'll be an API that people can use, and it will be the same for BNZ and Westpac and, you know, the other banks. Now, that all sounds, well, it sounds great. Might not, depending on what you think sounds great. To me, that sounds great, but it's been extremely slow to be rolled out. This has been in the works for many, many years, and I think BNZ is the only bank that was on target with the timelines for these. They've been a little bit further ahead on the technology side. At the moment, you can get access to account information. Payments is across most of the banks, but there's still no central path to getting access to all of these. There are still individual agreements with each of the banks, and they're only the major banks. So all of the financial institutions that KiwiSaver providers, the fund managers, the neobanks, the other fintechs are not part of this consortium. So in my view, it has a very long way to go.
Yeah, I was going to say, does that drive you nuts a little bit? It must, like, do you have your hands a little bit tied on what you can and can't do here?
I mean, it's not like an existential frustration or anything. I think we'll get there. There just hasn't been that much competition in New Zealand. The banks have existed. They've done roughly what people wanted banks to do. And so they haven't needed to do much more. Open banking will force competition in a way that is not really in their interests.
Mm.
So it makes sense why it hasn't been happening. With Otto, we use Akahu. Akahu is an open finance provider that provides a standard API service for all of the banks and a big portion of the financial institutions, so fund managers and KiwiSaver providers and whatnot. For our use case, which is getting account information, that's like name and account balance, that's really all we need. We have a solution. When we want to get to the point of doing things like roundups or account transaction enrichment or social activities where you can save together and whatnot, we're going to need richer APIs, and those aren't available yet. But it's looking like the end of this year is an optimistic view of it.
Fingers crossed. Another thought, just as we're talking about, you know, legislation and tricky things that you can run into, I mean, gamification to make us do good things with our money sounds fantastic. There must be, however, some sort of areas where you're a bit like, you have to tread carefully, right? I mean, I think particularly, obviously, Robin Hood over in the US, the investing app. To my mind, the idea of making investing fun and easy and mildly gamified is great, right? Because you are getting people to invest and to grow their money. But there has been problems with Robinhood getting a lot of, and sometimes fair criticism of maybe overly gamifying, encouraging people to trade more than they should, to do things that take it from investing, growing wealth, great, to, is this actually still good for people? We're hacking people's brains and maybe not a good way to make more money out of them. So as you're setting this up and designing it, and you're clearly coming at this from a place of really wanting to help people and help people figure things out, do things like ditch the debt, are there ever any areas where you're like, that one we need to tread carefully on? Are there any areas where you wouldn't go?
I mean, definitely. It's a really good question, and I think it's a really important consideration, because there are definitely ways that these mechanics that we're talking about in Otto and in Robinhood and share apps and whatnot can hijack people's behavior for the wrong thing. And I totally agree that in Robinhood, for example, if you buy something on margin and confetti flies up on the screen and there's a bell or something, that's clearly not a good thing for a lot of people. So we think about it a lot at Otto. We try and just keep things simple. So we're not trying to issue debt or reward people for getting into debt, for example.
Mm.
We're not enforcing strict rules around the amount that someone should save. It should be based on their income and their own circumstances. And the reason behind that is, if you set a high savings goal, it is possible that someone who has a proclivity towards a certain type of gambling might transfer money from a debt account as a cash advance into a savings account to reach the checkpoint. And we didn't want that to be the case. And so we're really focused on the habits and not the actual absolute value of the saving or the paying off of debt or the investment. But you're right. It's something to be quite careful about.
It's hard, isn't it? When you're getting into an area where there's so much room to help people, and helping people with their money is so important, and using behavioral psychology to do that, brilliant. It's such a tightrope to walk, because people's situations can be so different, and you can accidentally manipulate things the wrong way, eh?
Yes, money is an important thing. It's quite a personal thing too, so you do have to be careful.
100%. I mean, one of the ways I came across you was, you're part of FinTech Lab 2025, which is such an interesting way of bringing together these companies, these ideas, people who are really in these stages of creating new and interesting things. I think this year has been a really interesting crew of people. I mean, I wish I could interview you all. That would probably take me all year, and that would be all the podcast was.
Yeah, there's some good folks in there for sure.
Yeah, some great people in there, some fascinating ideas. How has being part of that process refined your idea, bouncing off other people? Have you honed in on any areas and maybe got rid of others?
You might be able to speak about this too, given that you've gone off on your own and you've got your own business, and there are ups and downs with that, and there are certainly challenges. It is easier doing these things when you have a community as part of that. And for Otto is myself, my co-founder, and three other teammates, and we're very, very close. But it's nice to be part of a wider fintech community to see what they're going through, how they're approaching problems. That's been probably the biggest benefit to us. In terms of actual changes to how we're building Otto, they've got this facility as part of the accelerator. They have coaches that come on board, and it's just been relentless removing of options that we can't do fast enough or shouldn't do or don't know enough about. And so we came through with this enormous backlog of things that we were keen to do, and we've just whittled it down to just the core couple of ideas that we can focus on.
Yeah. What's that old thing about 20% of what you do will make you 80% of the money? And that's often the case. Is like I struggle with this too. There's so many things I want to do, and people send me messages of, could you do this? Could you do that? And I'm like, ooh, great idea. Would love to. And you have to actually be quite brutal with yourself sometimes, especially at the beginning, right? To be like, no, this is the most important right now. And maybe all of that stuff comes later. But right now, this and this one thing well, rather than these 10 things quite badly.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I thought you nailed it. The like the Pareto principle and it applies to so many things. Just like the 20% is going to cover most of those of the outcomes that you're after. And the accelerator certainly helped us take action on that principle more than we probably were before.
Yeah. And it's interesting as well that you mentioned the community side of things. Whether or not people actually help you, I think just having people who are in the same boat, often dealing with the same frustrations, and can validate you to a point where you're like, oh, I'm not crazy. That is really hard. So I can be a bit nicer to myself. That is actually so helpful and so needed, right? I think sometimes people expect the business world to be, I mean, it is competitive, and there are sometimes you'll run across people where you're like, oh, I might not tell them sensitive information, but it's actually more rare than people expect. I actually think a lot of the business world is really supportive and helpful. Is that your experience?
100%. Everyone has been really helpful in the Accelerate program. Peers, similar age, older, younger, all helpful. What I've noticed in New Zealand, and particularly in the finance industry, is that actually some of the most helpful people are in their kind of last decade or two of working.
Ah, yes.
55 plus, they've seen a lot, and they're super helpful, super generous with their time. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for other industries, but there's just something about the finance industry where they are willing to share and willing to help out where they can. So that's also been massively appreciated. Because what about for you, Francis? Who are your peers or your community within like the sphere that you operate?
Yeah, other podcasters for the most part. Some people who are in the financial education space as well. It's kind of a bit of a blend. But yeah, other podcasters, other financial educators, they are spread around a bit. Some in New Zealand, some in Australia. But it's, I think a lot of people, particularly when it comes to the social media world, because I obviously do a lot on socials, people expect it to be so cutthroat. And you do get some like that. Like, I don't want to be naive about it. There are some people who I've hung out with and I'm like, oh, I might not tell you things, maybe. But it is genuinely, I would say 90% of people are just interested in sharing ideas, sharing tips and tricks. Sometimes they will offer up what could be considered very sensitive information, like other podcasters who tell me how much they charge their sponsors. You know, that could be considered really sensitive information, and yet people share it. And I just am always blown away by how generous people are, often for no reason other than they just want to help out. It's very affirming.
Yeah, I think that's right. And sometimes if people are working in a particular niche, like let's say in your niche, maybe they've never been asked the question that you're asking them. Yeah. And actually they've wanted to tell someone for as long as they can remember. You know, it's maybe not that extreme, but they're actually invite that kind of connection.
Yeah, 100%. And it's amazing how, I mean, if you're asking for sensitive information, I think always be careful about it because people can get offended. But it's amazing how often you just ask, oh, hey, do you mind me asking? So many times people just say, oh, that's totally fine. Yeah, yeah, here's how I handled that. And do you need any more info? And I can send you an email with this document that I used. And like, it's kind of amazing, right?
Yeah, like potentially confidential, commercially sensitive information. You're like, okay, that's really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. And I think particularly in my world, you know, the independent media world, right? We feel like we're all battlers and trying to do our best. I imagine there's a similar sort of mentality in the startup scene of sticking together. Is there a little bit of that?
There's a level of enjoying the suffering. And I don't mean that going down your own path is not that easy, but it's something that if you do it, you kind of have to do it. You're driven to do it. And everyone within the cohort through Creative HQ, they're all quite similar characters in that sense. So you can all be honest with each other. You all know that you're a little bit crazy, but in you know, in some good ways and some bad ways, it's definitely comforting in that sense.
Yes, find your people, stick together. If there was one thing you wanted people to take from this conversation, we've covered so much ground, but I'm thinking people who, they have goals for their life, they want to use money to get them there, and they really want to take control of their money mindset. So if people took one thing from this conversation and they're thinking, I can do better, I can control my money mindset a bit more and use that to get myself to the next level, what do you hope that one thing they'd take from this conversation would be?
Yeah, so money mindset, it is really a mindset, and it's a mindset that you think it's more complicated than it actually is. And all of the tools that you need are available. Most of them are free. And I think there's a fear that it's difficult to learn, and it's actually not. Anyone listening to this is more than capable of learning the tools that they need to increase their financial you know, quality of life. I would just say try and take some action. If you're even thinking about doing something, you thought, oh, maybe I should set up an automatic payment, just go do it. Don't think about it. Don't open Instagram or whatever. First thing you do, open your banking app, set it up for $1 if you have to, doesn't matter the amount, and just let it compound over time and just get more confident at making those small but compounding changes to your life. You know, and also go and check out getotto.nz and sign up to Otto.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of, I mean, I'm sure, have you launched yet? Are you launching soon? What's the timeline on that? If people want to use Otto, tell us about where they can find it and when.
Yes, thank you. So we launched to a small group of people in July last year. We've now opened it up. So we've grown our numbers quite a lot since then. You can sign up for free, getotto.nz. The next thing that we're working on, and I really wanted to talk about briefly here, super excited about it. We're tentatively calling it Fortune Fund, which is a modern take on bonus bonds, which hasn't been around for many years. We're super excited about it. We did it in a really fun, simple way. So you can sign up to Otto, or you can sign up to the wait list for Fortune Fund on getotto.nz.
Perfect. And Otto being OTTO, right?
Yes.
Excellent. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. That's Thomas Van Ammers, co-founder of Otto. Some fascinating things there. Give it a hoon. If you want to pay off debt, save a bit more, but you struggle to stick to it, well, here you go. Let them hack your brain for you a bit. And also, if you have more questions about this, anything else to do with money, you can find me all over social media. So send those through and I will try to get them answered for you in a future podcast episode. It's Francis Cook NZ, and that's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I'm on LinkedIn too if you're feeling nerdy. And there's also the Money Memo newsletter. If you want to make sure that social media algorithms don't get in the way of us talking to each other, you can sign up to that on my website, franciscook.co.nz, or of course it's in the links in the show notes of this episode. Most importantly though, we're almost done with me telling you to sign up to things. Most importantly, click subscribe to Making Sense podcast so that you never miss a tip or trick with your money. Until next time, have a great day. Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.